Let me tell you a little more about John and Elizabeth Karanja. They were married in 1990 in Kenya, both of them Christians, both of them graduates of East Africa School of Theology, where he graduated in 1986. They spent 6 years in missions work in Malawi, Assemblies of God Ministry, training leaders for the Decade of Harvest. And then in 1996, he became the president of the East Africa School of Theology in Kenya and was the first Kenyan president. Up to that time, an Assemblies of God missionary had been president of that school. Well, and then during the time he was president, he was sent here to get that one degree. Now he has come back and one more year to complete his degree the Master of Divinity degree from Global University. His ministries also included church planting and pastoral ministry, so you can see how devoted he is to our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother John Karanja, let's have you stand with your wife Elizabeth, and then you'll introduce your guests. But John and Elizabeth Karanja, please stand, and Brother John, please come. Yes. We welcome you to the pulpit tonight.
We are honored to have guests all the way from Kenya, Reverend and Mrs. Jane Nuthu. As Pastor Hubert has said, they are servants of the church in Kenya, the general treasurer, and they are here for some ministry that God has laid on their hearts. The Nuthus are pastors, apart from being the general treasurer, and apart from Jane being the WM leader in the district, they also pastor a church, one of our large churches in the city, in the slum areas, a very destitute, underprivileged community in the city. Some of you who have been to Nairobi know the place, Mathare. The Lord laid upon their hearts a burden to help the community. Apart from preaching the gospel, they do more than preaching the gospel. They help the underprivileged to have a better life. They want to see the gospel changing not only the heart, but the life, the total life of the human being. They run a program, they call it the Child Development Project. They focus on kids right from the smallest, feeding them, those that cannot find food in their families. And God has blessed their ministry now. They are taking them to school. They have built a school, and it has gone to high school now from scratch, from zero. And they have two kids going to the university from that school. Let me introduce Reverend Peter Nuthu to come and greet you and share a little bit of what God is doing through their ministry.
Thank you, Brother Karanja. Thank you, Pastor, for this moment. And I bring you greetings from Kenya, from our General Superintendent, Reverend Peter Njiri, and also from my own heart, because the Kenya Church, we feel like we have our elder brothers, the Assemblies of God in USA. You are our elder brothers and our elder sisters. You send us missionaries those years from 1967, when our church was born by the District Council of Texas, 1968, and in 1973, the Kenya Assemblies of God continued growing, and it became a national church. And even during the genocide of our 2008, you elder brothers and sisters, we saw your hand working with us in times of cry, in times of sorrow, in times of pain. You walked with us. And so we owe a lot to our brothers and sisters in the USA Church. Even after that, during the genocide, we lost 120 churches. One of our churches was burnt with the people inside, whereby we lost about 20 children, 25 children, and about 15 adults. And youth have stood with us. This far, we have recovered about 87 churches out of 120 that we lost during the genocide. And you people, people of God, you people who have stood with your word, in God we trust, you became our helpers. Amen. Thank you very much. I would request my wife to just greet you. She's also the director of Mathare Child Development Center. We are taking care of 800 children in that program, from kindergarten to high school. I want to present a request for prayer. As you pray for the next 20 weeks, remember Kenya. We had been going through a writing of a constitution of the nation. We have our first constitution, but the people had been saying, we want a new one. And in the last 20 years, the draft had been done. And in the year 2005, we went for a referendum. But the church was saying no. You are either to vote yes or no. We were saying no because in that constitution, they had endorsed the Qadhi Courts, which is part of Sharia law of Islam. And this time, they haven't removed that. They are still rigid. And the Qadhi Courts is there. And abortion is there being legalized. And we are saying no. So we voted no in 2005. Now they have rewritten it again. And tomorrow is when the Attorney General is forwarding it for civic education. From 1st of May, 1st of April, the Parliament passed it. And for the last 30 days, it had been in the hands of the Attorney General being published. And tomorrow, on 1st, he will forward it to the committee that had been writing it. And from 2nd of May, civic education on that constitution will start going on. And the church, we have stood, all of us. We have more than 300 denominations. And the Catholics this time are with us. Last time they were not very vocal, but this time, even the Catholics, let's say the Kenya church is together saying no. And the Muslims and the politicians are saying yes. The prime minister, yes. The vice president, yes. The president, yes. And they are telling the church, you say yes. Then after that, we will amend the constitution. And we are telling them, you cannot stop killing a snake outside the door and say, let it get inside the house. I will kill it. It will bite you. And the fight will be more worse than before. This is the time to change. This is the time to say no. They have said no, but now the church, our General Superintendent, Reverend Peter Jiri, is among the 15 bishops that now are leading the church on how to campaign and raise money and have more campaigns and more meetings, prayer meetings, open-air meetings, saying we are saying no because of this and that. And also having the church civic education on how to vote against that draft. The battle is not small. But we are saying this is the time to stand for our God and for our faith. God bless you as you pray for Kenya. Thank you very much.
The Nuthus are very close friends of our family. I didn't mention this. We have known them for a long time, many, many years. Brother Peter Nuthu and I went to the Bible school together. We enrolled on the same date at the East Africa School of Theology. We shared a dorm together. We were classmates for 4 years. We graduated on the same day. And we have shared a lot in the ministry. Elizabeth came to East and they became so close to Mrs. Nuthu, very close friends. That's even before we were engaged to be married. They became so close. And during our wedding, when time came for us to have our wedding, they were our best couple. I wonder whether you call them best couples in America. The best man and the best lady, the bridesman and groomsman and bride's lady, whatever. Yeah. So they were with us through the wedding and they've been with us all through, and we thank God for sending them to America and to be with us, to visit with us for this short time. We are indeed blessed and privileged, Elizabeth and I, to be part of Central Assembly. We thank God for this church. This is a great church indeed. And it's indeed a blessing. We can't thank God enough to be part of this church in his own wisdom to bring us and to make us part of this. And it's our prayer that we will make our small contribution to the kingdom through Central Assembly. Because this is a church that is touching the whole world. And we want to be part of that. We thank God for the leadership of this church. We thank God for Pastor Hubert's leadership in the Wednesday prayer services. We've been blessed, and all of us can say we've been blessed by Pastor Hubert's love for God and love for God's people. And we thank God for this opportunity. If you have your Bible, I would like to share two scriptures with you. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Verse 9b says, "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Psalms 105, verse 1b says, "Make known among the nations what he has done." Verse 2b says, "Tell of all his wonderful acts." The Bible reveals God's plan of ages. It's the book that tells us of God's redemptive mission on earth. It tells the story of God working through his people to fulfill his redemptive mission. God working with people together to accomplish his mission on earth. This mission begins in the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and continues to the present time, to this day that we are in Central Assembly on this Wednesday night service. The mission of God continues. According to Genesis 12, when God spoke to Abraham, he talked to him about the nations, and he told him in his plan he includes the nations. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. And the Bible says God spoke the gospel to Abraham that through his seed, the nations will be blessed. God calls us into that plan so that we too can share in his redemptive mission. He calls us to himself that we may come to him, the source of all blessing, the blessing himself so that as he blesses us, we too, like Abraham, may become a blessing to the nations. That's God's mission. And the scripture we've read, 1 Peter 2, says, about who we are and why we are here. It speaks about our identity and our mission. Who are we? We are God's chosen people. Why are we here? We are here to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is who we are, and this is why we are here. Everything else falls in between there. Everything else is immaterial. What matters is who we are in him and what we are here to do, and we are here for his mission. Today we want to share with you, Elizabeth and I, on what the Lord has done and is doing by his Spirit in and through the church in Africa. We will focus on two areas that we've been involved in and areas that we've witnessed God working: the area of God's mission in Africa and the area of leadership training, because they go together. God's mission and training of leaders, they go hand in hand. Jesus knew this from the beginning. When he came to earth, he made sure he got 12 men and invested his whole life in 12 men. You talk of a seminary, the first seminary in the New Testament, held by Jesus, the president of the seminary, with 12 disciples only, and he believed these 12 will do the job. That's how much God puts trust in human beings. Somebody told a story that after he had completed his work, he went back to heaven, and the angels celebrated and received him back for having accomplished his work, and they asked him, "What did you do?" He said, "I chose 12 and trained them. I spent my life in them and left them to do the rest of the work." And the angels asked him, "Are you sure they will do it? Do you have a plan B?" And Jesus said, "No plan B, only plan A. And plan A is what will work." Thank God he trusts men to do his work. One of the things the Holy Spirit is doing in Africa is to call the Church of Africa to be actively involved in the fulfillment of this mission, world outreach. It is happening in different parts of the continent and in various ways. The Holy Spirit is leading the church and the people on the continent in different ways. Africa for a long time has been on the receiving end. We've always received missionaries from Europe, after Europe, missionaries from America, and we have been blessed so much. Africa is a transformed continent. It's not what it was some years back. We used to refer it as the dark continent. And I want to tell you, brothers, it's no longer the dark continent. The light of the gospel has come. And Africa is a transformed continent. Yes, we've been on the receiving end. But Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And the Holy Spirit is awakening the church in Africa and telling the church, "You've received so much, it's time to give. You've received so that you can give out." And we believe that the better days of the church in Africa are in the future. They are ahead. We have not yet seen what God can do through his people and in the Church of Africa. And though the story is big, what the Holy Spirit is doing, friends, this is just but the beginning. The better days of the church in Africa are still in the future, still to come. Because God is at work. The Holy Spirit is moving. He is doing his work through human beings. That's the best part of the gospel, that God has chosen to use human beings to accomplish his mission. And he's not shaken by anything else. He believes that human beings are his method, and he won't change that. So the Holy Spirit is calling the Church of Africa also to participate in this mission, this great mission. And friends, we've heard stories about Africa, troubles and problems and calamities and natural disasters. And Reverend Peter Nuthu has just mentioned about the election we went through, 2007, that left our country devastated. There was animosity and hatred. As people said, no, we won the election, and others said, no, you didn't win, and the other said, yes, we did, and everybody went to the streets to fight about who won and who did not win, and many people died. The church suffered big losses, but even in the midst of this, friends, I want you to know that the Spirit was still at work. We saw miracles, deliverance, God working even in the midst of the chaos. And friends, I want to remind you that, yes, there are these stories, but there is a better side of Africa. There is the side of God and his people working through the Holy Spirit, saving and transforming lives, and things are happening on the continent. The newsmen will tell us the other story, but they don't tell us about the growth of the church. They'll tell us about how many problems Africa has, but they'll not tell us about the revival that is taking place. You know, the media sometimes has its own slant. Well, I thought the media should be very objective, but I have discovered they are not as objective as they said they were. Sometimes they take a slant to make their point. We have a better point. God is at work. No matter what happens around us, God is doing his work. And we know where the victory lies. We know the end of the story. Triumph on God's side and his people. Yes, we need to be calling for prayers for America. True, we know there are all kinds of challenges. But friends, the end of the story is victory for God and for his people. We pray that at the end of this sharing, we'll take a few minutes to share some of these things that the Lord is doing. And it is our prayer that you will be able to grasp what the Spirit is doing to involve the church in missions in Africa. Some years back, the African leader sat down, talked about the church on the continent, the Africa Assemblies of God Alliance, and they decided they are going to set goals for church growth. They want to see the church grow. It was growing, yes, but they wanted to see greater growth. And all over the continent, they came together, sat down, and decided we want to see growth. They set goals to plant more churches, to win more souls into the kingdom, to train more pastors for the work of the ministry, to have more people filled with the Holy Spirit. And they called this the decade of harvest between 1990 and the year 2000. Those 10 years were designated the decade of harvest, and they went to work. Every general superintendent was told, go back to your country, tell your people about these goals, start working. Let's see the church growing. Malawi was one of them. When they went back, they said, for us to accomplish these goals, we need to train more people so that as we reach out and win souls, we can conserve the fruit. And the church felt their need for help, so they called to Kenya Church and said, we want to accomplish the goals for the decade of harvest, but we are short of workers. Could you send us a missionary? This is an African church calling to an African church to send an African missionary to come and help them train Africans for the harvest and to go into the field. The Kenya Church had never sent a missionary outside the country all the years. This was like what's going on here. But the church in Malawi kept saying, we need help. Can you, as our sister church, sister Assembly of God Church, send us a person to help us? We need help. It was kind of a Macedonian call. Our leaders thought, do we not? We've never done this before. Should we really do it? Can we really do it? Should we say yes? Should we say no? What should we say? How do we do it? Where do we begin? We don't have a missions program in place. We don't have a foreign missions fund anywhere. We don't have even something written, bylaws and constitution for foreign missions. Where do we begin? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit works with the church? And with all the feelings and the excuses and this we can't and this is the reason why we can't do it and we can't, the Spirit told them, this is a God-given opportunity. Take it. And they said, we will do it. We don't know how to begin, but we will do it. Let's find the man. So they decided, after talking and debating and discussing, yeah, we have a man teaching in our Bible school. We will send him. This is the first time we are doing it. We don't even know whether he's even thinking about it, but let's talk to him. We want to do it. We feel we need to do it. Let's talk to him. So they came to me and said, John, that was our general superintendent and the head of the missionaries in Kenya then. They came to my house and I didn't know what the leaders were coming to do in my house. The general superintendent, when your leaders come to your house, be ready, it's either a blessing or... I didn't know what they were carrying. So I invited them in. We sat, we talked, and they told me, John, you know, the Malawi church has called. They're asking that we respond. They need help with the decade of harvest, and they need somebody to go. We thought about it, and we thought, you are the person we want to send. Are you ready to go? Now, when your leaders ask you, are you ready to go, what do you say? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you don't just say yes, sir, because you also want to listen to the Lord as much as you say yes. But God works through leaders at the same time. And he will not speak to leaders and not speak to the person. God was already dealing with me about it. God was already dealing with Elizabeth about it. Our hearts were ready. We were feeling there is something God wants to do. He's turning our ministry in a direction. And so, we said yes. And friends, I want you to know, when God calls, the right thing to do is to say yes. We began a journey of adventure. And I said adventure because it was indeed adventure. Adventure with God. And how many know that when you walk with God, it's a delightful adventure? Walking with God, fulfilling his mission, it's an adventure that continues. And we are glad we said yes. So we left Kenya to go to Malawi as missionaries. We spent 6 years working with the church in Malawi. And in brief, we saw the same Holy Spirit working in that church, awakening the church also to do missions. They didn't have a missions program, but the Spirit stirred the church. And we started with the Bible school students. We had a missions program. At the same time, the Lord was dealing with the leadership of Malawi about missions. And in 1995, the General Council came together, and the theme of the General Council was missions, we too can do it. And from that moment to this present time, the Malawi Church continues sending out missionaries. They have sent 3 families to Sudan. And it seemed like the Lord laid a burden on their hearts for Sudan. They kept sending and sending and sending families to Sudan to change this Islamic nation to know Jesus. They have sent other missionaries to Zimbabwe, and they are still sending more to other countries. The Spirit is at work. When He says go, the best thing we can do is to go. I want Elizabeth to come and sum it up, and then we'll hand it over to the pastor to conclude.
When we left Kenya, since you've heard there was no missionary plan, it was just a call that was responded to. We didn't have a fund for missionaries. So we left Kenya with a $150 check. And at that time, Malawi's money was very strong. It was 2 to $1. So when we arrived in Malawi, we changed it and it was 300 something. And we started life with that. And for the next 3 months, we didn't receive any other coin from Kenya. And Malawi life was very expensive compared to Kenya. It was almost 8 times expensive. And I thought I knew God before I left Kenya, especially, you know, being born in a place and going through my teenage and God performing miracles and finishing Bible school and studying this wonderful God, and, you know, theoretically, I thought I knew God. But when I arrived in Malawi, I discovered I didn't know who God was. We saw God in miraculous ways. In those 3 months, it happened 3 times in those 6 years, a period of 3 months without a coin. And we just saw God. I will just say very briefly, when we were getting, when God was blessing us with our firstborn, I didn't have even a vest for the baby. I was admitted, my blood pressure went so high, I was admitted, and we didn't have money to be put in a better ward, so I was going to stay with, you know, common Malawians, you know, beautiful Malawians, but everybody had to come with their caretaker, so you could find a bed shared by 4 people. And that's all I was going for. But when they were assigning me a bed, there was no bed left. So the only opening was in the best room in the hospital for the minister's wives. And that is where I was put at the cost of the general ward. And I stayed there with these rich women with their babies. They were showing each other every evening, oh, what have you done? Oh, I bought this, I made this, my so-and-so brought me this. But me, a missionary from Kenya, no Kenyan had visited me to bring me anything. So when they are talking beautiful stories, I would cover my head and say, God, I will take my child out of this place, either with my sweater or however you want. And after 1 week in the hospital, in Kenya, the student ladies in Bible school, They came together and they didn't know our situation. We didn't talk to anyone. So they didn't know, but God brought them together. They raised some money. They bought clothes. And the evening that I was going to have my baby, I was brought a suitcase full of new clothes and towels and blankets and everything. One T-shirt, my son put it on until he was 7 years old. It was that blessing. And we saw God in many ways. And that was just the first miracle. There were so many, many, many miracles. And this one thing I would like to say, even without much, God still used us. And without much, God spoke to us in a very, very close, you know, relationship. I remember one time I gave up and I was so discouraged. And why, God, we are faithful, we give tithes, we do anything you want. And I told my husband one evening, I don't believe in the Bible. Because we are tithing, we are doing everything, we are tithing even what we don't have, and this is what is happening to us. And my husband, I thought he would understand and support me, but he rebuked me. He said, why are you talking like a fool? And I was lost. I felt alone. I just felt alone. And from that time, God started working again. The same me. I started telling him months later, I wish these checks can stay longer so that we continue seeing God. We saw God. And one thing I don't want to leave out, I'm just chopping, you know. One thing I don't want to forget is that even with that, we were able to contribute to the needs of Malawian. One man knocked our door one time and said, I've just been retrenched. They didn't pay my salary. I have nothing to give my children. Would you help me? I didn't have much in the house, but I had a kitchen garden. First of all, we told him we have nothing, and he left. When he left, we asked each other, why did we send him empty-handed? We can go to the school store and get some flour. But the man was already gone. We said, we are going to do it. I went to the garden. I came up with some green leaves. He went to the store, and we prayed, God, if you want us to touch this man's life, lead my husband to whatever direction this man took. And for sure, he took a motorbike. We used a motorbike. We didn't have a car. So he took his motorbike. There were 5 directions this man could have taken. But the direction my husband took, he found the man walking, and he gave him the food. God is great, and nobody can say they have nothing to give. God bless you.
All this in conclusion, I want to remind you, the Church of America, that you have a great part in this. God has used the church in America to bless the nations through your missions program by sending missionaries and supporting them. And what God is doing in those countries is part of what you have been doing here in the U.S. And I want to encourage you that this is just but a small part of the story. That God has privileged us tonight to hear the story of his redemption, the redemption story that is going on and being written all over the world, chapter after chapter in different countries. And friends, I want you to know that it's not yet told. The full story is not yet. Only eternity will tell the rest of the story. Let's keep doing God's work. Let's be faithful at his calling, and let's see the mission of God accomplished. God bless you.
Thank you. We feel very honored to have heard what you've shared tonight, all of you. And friends, our policy is, any of us within the church who speak do not get an honorarium for speaking on Wednesday nights. But I did feel that the Lord was moving in my heart as I was sitting there, that there would be things that Karanja would be needing that we could help meet their needs. I don't know personally things that they actually need right at the moment. I don't think he needs a motorbike. I think they actually are, and they have had help from the African funds and from through Brother McLaughlin and from Central Assembly for these 2 years. But for the next year, there was no appropriation for the third year of this degree. And so we're laying that before the Lord. And I think probably the most appropriate thing really is that we pray right now in closing, you know, and if you feel God is stirring your heart and your spirit tonight as you've heard this, that there should be some gift that would be given to them. I did not ask if there's like a missions account that money can be given to for your expenses over the next year. Do you call it like an account at the headquarters that money is given to for you? Sir? There is one? Okay, that's what I wanted to know. And that way, if you give anything to Central Assembly for John Karanja, it will be given to that account. I believe that's the Spirit of the Lord that wants us to do that. So that doesn't mean you need to hand it to me tonight. It means that if you let us know or indicate it properly on an envelope or and so forth, that Ed Simmons will be sure that it's written out properly from Central Assembly to the account for Brother Karanja. Or if you end up bringing it to me for them, I'll see that it gets to the right place for them. So for right now, at the end tonight, we're so grateful to God, and we're going to pray, and we'll include the Karanjas and the Nuthus in our prayers. And then also, I didn't say anything earlier about Pastor Jeff's knee surgery this past week, because I didn't really have his permission to say anything about it, and I wanted him to appear perfectly whole to you. But he did have arthroscopic surgery on his knee because of an accident that had happened in the past years. And so on the website, I believe, or Facebook, that he said he is in a tremendous amount of pain. And so we'll make that a part of our closing prayer. Let's stand together. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit here tonight, speaking to our hearts, speaking through the Karanjas and the Nuthus. We pray for them to experience wonderful supply to accomplish the vision that you've put into their hearts, and for the Karanjas' vision to complete this Master of Divinity degree, that there would be a sufficient supply for the next 12 months, and that you would use us, Lord, in the way that you would speak to our hearts tonight, and that we will follow through properly for the need to be met that is our part. And so now we pray, Lord, for our pastor, Jeff Peterson, that the hand of the Lord is extended to him now, and the pain will be less severe, and God's healing power will flow through his knee, and he will heal up well. Now, thank you for him and for the touch of God upon his life and his physical need. Now, go with each one. We pray for one another to have the blessing of God and the will of God and the power of the Holy Spirit upon us to accomplish the works of the Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.